Tatiana Namakonova, thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tell me about your research. What are you, you're about to leave for Russia, if I understand correctly.
Yes, well, on Sunday we are heading to Russia. We are going to work in several places, but my research interests are on reindeer domestications, particularly on Yamal Peninsula in Russian Arctic, western portion of it. So our plan is to go and work with ancient and contemporary reindeer harnesses and work with ancient reindeer bones from several archaeological sites on Yamal Peninsula in Russia. So we're basically interested in understanding the long-term history of reindeer domestication and use of these animals by Arctic populations.
Mm. For people who are not familiar with the Yamal Peninsula and the Nenets Okrug, can you describe what it is?
So, well, Yamal Peninsula is located in northwestern Siberia. So it's right to the east of Ural Mountains, which separate Russia from Siberia itself, European Russia from Siberia. And Nenets are one of the indigenous groups that have been living on Yamal Peninsula and areas near it for several centuries or even older than that.
Hmm. And so how are you conducting this research? You, I understand that you're going to build a copy of the harness parts that you have found. What is going to be the interaction like with the local reindeer herders?
What we've done, so we've already created a few replicas of ancient reindeer harnesses, which are about 2,000 years old. So what we're trying to do is we're asking reindeer herders to try out ancient reindeer harnesses on their contemporary reindeer to see how they work. Would they be applicable in the past and the present? Do they apply them to the leading reindeer or in any other parts in the harness as well? And how do they work? Better, not better? Because, well, there are many similarities between ancient and contemporary reindeer harnesses. And by using this, we are hoping to understand how the people interacted with animal in the past as well. So we're not only looking at reindeer harness pieces, but also at reindeer bones at several archaeological sites. Try to understand which animals they had in terms of the age, sex, when did they hunt them or maybe have them, were they domestic or wild reindeer, and how far it goes back in time.
Mm. What kind of assistance or help are you getting on the ground in Siberia?
Well, we are collaborating with several archaeologists and ethnographers who have been working in the region for many years. We are mainly collaborating with archaeologists from the Arctic Center, which is located right in town called Salihard, which is one of the major towns on Yamal Peninsula. So they have long-term contacts with Nenets population and people who work in the region. So they are basically helping us to arrange all of this in terms of logistics.
And can you kind of speak to, for people who are not familiar with the Arctic, especially with the Russian Arctic, what are some of the kind of the challenges of working in the tundra where you're going?
To work in the tundra, some of the challenges, what to expect, of course, while we'll be working and living with reindeer herders. So we're going to live in their mobile houses, sharing everything with the family because they're very close in terms of the family. So this means living inside the big tent. So the conditions will be, of course, quite cold. So you can just picture it's still made there. So going to be made there. So it's still going to be quite cold. Last time we landed, there was still snow on the ground, and it took a while for spring to come. And also, well, among some other things, we have to bring a lot of food with us and gas and make sure that, you know, we contribute our portion of supplies to the people who are hosting us. And warm clothes, though we've been told that Nenets love to dress visitors in their own clothing because, well, actually it's way warmer than everything else we can find. And it's designed for Arctic, made from the animal fur, so they're quite resistant to cold and wet conditions as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, if reindeer is anything like the caribou hides, they're probably the warmest things that you can find on Earth.
Yep, and caribou is, and reindeer, it's the same animal, absolutely right. So it's the same Latin species, Rangifaterandus, suggests it's called caribou in North America, but in Europe it's reindeer.
Now, you are originally from Irkutsk. Tell me, how did you come about this fascination with archaeology, and particularly archaeology in the Arctic?
Well, actually, my brother was an archaeologist, so he was taking me into the archaeological excavation since I was 10. And basically, I've been participating in archaeological excavation since then. And, well, archaeology is everything I wanted to do. Of course, we all watched movies on Indiana Jones and were fascinated with that for a while. So I partly blame him for that, though we don't do work like he does, of course, in the movies. And, you know, archaeology is everything that I ever wanted to do. I've been in the field for about, I don't know, 20, 25 years so far. Most of my research has been done in southeastern Siberia, near the Lake Baikal. So this is where the Irkutsk city is. And over the past several years, especially after I've done my PhD in Canada, I've been working with animal bones, and one of the species that I've been fascinated first was actually Baikal seal. And I've been building or reconstructing the long-term history of using these particular animals in the Lake Baikal region of Siberia, which had many similarities with Arctic in Canada and, well, North America in general, thinking about Inuit and how they perceive the animals. So it kind of got me started thinking about different animals and amazing relationships that people have with them. So we've been working with different animals, a little bit on dogs and seals, a little bit on fish and birds. But when we got to work on reindeer for about 3 years ago, it was quite fascinating to see that people still live with this animal. They move around. They depend on its lifestyle, right? So it's actually reindeer, basically, that moves the people, not the people that move reindeer.
Yeah, it's the people who follow the reindeer.
Yes, they follow the reindeer migrations, right, from south to north, because you can just, you know, tame a reindeer and keep it in one place. It keeps going, and the people have to follow this animal, unlike horses or cattle or any other animals that people domesticated. So it's quite a fascinating animal.
Yeah, tell me about that, because we call them tamed or domesticated, but I mean, they're roaming these huge expanses of tundra.
Yes, reindeer is one of those, I guess, tricky animals that we have challenges to think about in terms of domestication. Because, well, even genetically, it's very hard for us to separate they are domesticated or wild, because they just continue their path and people keep moving with them. So it's not a very kind of direct, I guess, definition. Maybe it's what is the better way is co-living with the animals, right, following around. And that particular terms with reindeer, mostly we can think about domestication is that control of breeding a little bit, right, because the herders will control how many males or females they'll have in the herd to continue the reproductivity of the herd and how many numbers. And, of course, they eat the animals as well. But even then, they prefer to hunt wild reindeer than to kind of touch their own. Mm. So the animal just keep moving based on different seasons through different parts of tundra, and people just have to adjust and follow.
How did the life of these reindeer herders change after the collapse of the Soviet Union? Because even, I mean, the Soviet authorities had actually organized things like, you know, reindeer kolkhozes and sovkhozes. You had collective farms. These people had the plans to deliver this much meat and this much hide. But all that, you know, disappeared in 1991. What has been the life like for them in the last, you know, 20 years?
Well, I think it's a bit challenging because when you kind of have a plan that you follow for so many years, right, during the Soviet time, and you know, well, this is what you do and this is how you do it. So people got a bit, I guess, lost, right, during the perestroika. But now we have, you know, many families that I think it's a chance for them to actually go back to their traditional lifestyles, to more or less, right, to follow the immigration route there, maybe ancestral lands. So I think there's still a bit of transition there, right? It's not that hard to completely change your perception lifestyle. But with animals, many of those reindeer herders, they just stayed there, right, with their families, and they just start to continue to move around. So I think we're still looking for some sort of perhaps a transitional period, but that is just, you know, my opinion. Hmm. But I see a lot of potential to go back to kind of traditional lifestyle because they have been doing this for centuries before the Soviets as well.